Boys and girls, welcome back to another thrilling edition of Franchise Buys Games. It is your weekly game news podcast, second best gaming podcast on the planet, at this point uncontested. That's producer of the show, nice guy Johnny.
Good evening, everyone.
You're going to have to say that again because you just came out like some sort of ding, 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 some sort of weird robot.
I'll do that again. Ding, ding, ding.
And I'm titular protagonist old franchise. Essentially what we'll do here, if you're new, we'll boil the piss off the week's gaming news, bring it right to your lugholes, so without so much as even buying you a drink first, we're just cramming it straight into your lugholes like a couple of dirty game cramming bastards. Johnny, we'll start this week's
no
show.
Standing on,
go for it, I cut you off.
I did. No standing on ceremony.
I mean,
here.
Did you cut me off? Because I was in the in the middle of me show opening. You know what I mean? This is I give it about a month before this is nice guy Johnny buys games.
Nope. I'm going to end up having the red button on me desk, isn't it? It's like your turn to talk. You may talk now.
I can see what you're doing.
This is my show. This is my show.
We'll start this week's show, if nice guy Johnny will allow it, the same way we start every show, with a little bit of Johnny. What are you playing?
Ooh, soothing baritone there. Ooh.
It was. I was going for Resident Evil 4 Merchant. What are you selling?
Yes. Very good. Very good.
I do a few things well. Resident Evil 4 Merchant is one of them.
Be dining out on that for years to come.
What have you been playing this week, Johnny?
I've mostly been playing. You broke my back in terms of getting me on.
Yeah, but what have you been playing?
I dove feet first into Marvel's Avengers after being courted into it.
Coerced.
By yours truly. Coerced, more like it, yeah.
Some light coercion going on to get nice guy Johnny on board with that Marvel's Avengers. Last week we touched on it that you weren't too sold on the idea of getting in amongst Marvel's Avengers so early on. You weren't sold on the idea because it was content light in your eyes. And I just want to know what changed. What was the thing that changed your opinion there, Johnny? What was the deciding factor which pushed you over the edge and allowed me to manipulate you like the puppet you are?
Right. I think, number one, the power of the franchise and what it actually is, you know.
No, I'm talking about the game now, Johnny. We're aware. We are aware.
You're so quick.
That
you're
I am
so quick.
Powerful as I flex like fucking Hulk Hogan in here. But like how... let's talk about the game some more. I'm all for talking about me. But let's talk about some games.
Okay, the license, the brand itself. Mm-hmm. It is a strong lure to it.
Yeah, yeah.
Also, it was available for £10 cheaper in one of the supermarkets I went to, and I thought, yeah, go on then. At 55 quid. What? At 45 quid. Yeah, I'll get on with that shit.
I'll get in amongst that. I'll dabble. I'll dip a toe. Do you know what it is? Them supermarkets, you've got to love them, but you've got to hate them, because they're going to kill the very industry we love. Like, the retail arm of it anyway, but like...
Absolutely. I know. I felt dirty doing
fucking,
it.
Saving your money, like, absolute cash money. You buy four games in a supermarket, you've saved enough for a fifth.
Mm-hmm. It is true.
That is exactly why I used to always buy my games from Asda. Not anymore. Since the lockdown, I've just been... exclusively downloading everything. I know you can still buy them on Amazon and get it shipped to your door physical, but I've got external hard drives there just ripe for the filling, you know what I mean? So I've been going that digital download route a lot of late. I don't know if this is my transitional period, Johnny. I don't know if I am literally on the cusp of full fucking digital. because it's I mean, it's right there. The storefront is right there. It's on demand. My godlike internet. 10 minutes, I would download any game. You know what I mean?
Yeah, but that's the thing. I mean, if you've got godlike internet, it works for me with like wind up, like a flywheel outside with a hamster in it. Getting something physical is the, well, I like something physical.
Aye, aye. I was about to do a welcome to AOL joke, but you went ahead and did the fucking physical thing, and I thought, nah, this is easily better.
But that being said, you buy it, and you've still got a 10 gig at least patch to do on day one.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, might as well go digital in the future.
If hard drives allow, and I mean, on our next-gen consoles, we don't actually know at this point that these custom-built SSDs, we don't know, because they operate very differently to sort of a moving parts hard disk drive with a physical disk on it that you are reading and writing, and it's spinning away like a madman. Because these new SSDs, this new SSD architecture on these new consoles is so different, so radically different to HDD technology, we don't actually know what the implications of that are. We may actually get a smaller file size just because the technology we're writing to is better. We don't know this. It is heavily speculated in the industry at this point.
And what is it like, and we'll get on to Xbox later on, but 100%. Xbox, you can buy the... it's going to be the expansion cards, isn't it?
The proprietary sort of... yeah, it's like we're going back to the days of memory cards, essentially. You like plug it in. It's like a card that you plug into the back of your console.
Because in a sense, it's like because you're going to be playing the game off the SSD.
Mm-hmm.
If you've got, like I say, an external hard disk drive, you'll be able to use it for storage, but not necessarily playing the games off it.
Well, this is true.
With the next gen, so
we need
the games. Like you said, the games aren't going to be designed for it.
No, we still need confirmation of like, can we still use hard disk drives for storage? Can we still plug in a HDD for storage alone and move back and forth instead of deleting and reinstalling? Can we move back and forth from a hard drive to the SSD? Mm-hmm. And these are the questions that'll come. No doubt in time, in not a lot of time, because, I mean, I tell you what, we're getting ahead of ourselves here. We're supposed to be talking about Marvel's Avengers.
All right, I'll bring it back. Do you want my quick caption review?
Did I just hear notes there? Have you actually made?
Yes.
He's made notes. Johnny, the floor is yours. I allow you and your notes full rein.
Right, is that finger over that there hyperbole off button?
When do you want us to hit it?
You'll know.
I'll know. You'll know. I've got hyperbole off lined right up.
Here we go. Right, Marvel's Avengers. Okay, I love it and loathe it. Not in equal measure. It flips either way. But it sums up at the moment. The game at the moment has got a bit of an acute secret identity crisis.
Oh, dear.
Which I hope does not turn into a chronic personality disorder.
This sounds to me very much like Hyperbolov.
Let's play Hyperbolov.
Bitty, 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 bitty. Carry on.
That's just been written on my desk. It's been there since 12 o'clock today.
I love that. Like that is without doubt the best hyperbole off we have had to date.
Thank you.
Take a bow.
But no, in all seriousness, it is a bit of a game with a bit of a... It doesn't know what it is yet or what it wants to be. Or it wants to be everything, but I don't know if it's going to succeed in doing that. However, I have had a lot of fun playing it, hands down.
Yeah.
Even through some of the most annoying bits, I've enjoyed it, particularly when we were streaming the other day.
Yeah. Twitch.tv/thefranchise, by the way. Every Monday, Wednesday, Sunday. Any other days in between, a bonus material.
And I'm still firmly into the campaign.
Mm-hmm.
And I really enjoy its structure, how it's bringing, like, it's very, very one of a Avengers Assemble in that sense. And it works really well
way. Yeah.
the elements, obviously, then it feeds in what the post-game kind of scenarios are going to be like, you know, with the war table and things, and like they become part of the campaign, which I think disjoints it slightly.
Uh-huh.
I don't think it's weaved in as well as it could do, and particularly with some of the bugs I've had. I mean, I haven't had any major graphical bugs, but I've had things with the tactical awareness thing where I had no fucking clue where I was going.
Yeah.
Or where people were. When that's not afforded to you, it's really frustrating.
I was there for that. I was there for the tactical awareness. That fucking happened on stream, that.
Jesus.
You're not wrong. I'll fully agree. Obviously, that's all I've played this week is Avengers. I've had a lot of adulting to do, such as house decorating and new furniture assembly, etc. So I haven't had the time I'd like to have gamed this week, but when I have crowbarred it in, it's been Avengers. And I couldn't agree more. I think I'll echo what I said last week. I think this campaign, through it, is essentially the Avengers Assemble storyline. Long after they've already assembled, they've broken apart and have to... It's essentially Avengers reassemble.
But
it's seen through a lens of a Marvel hero who hasn't had the MCU treatment, who to many people is it's an unknown character. If your length and a breadth of experience with Marvel starts and ends with the MCU, you won't even know who Miss Marvel is, and you'd be forgiven for thinking she was just Mr. Fantastic in drag. But the way the storyline is shot through, sort of like she is the focal point of the campaign, and it's a reassembling the Avengers through sort of her perspective. I think that's fucking genius, and it's very, very well written. Like you say, the campaign really strong, but you do start to get a taste of like, is this what the end game is? Is this what post game is going to be all about? So it's a game of service, classic game of service. The campaign's finished and your post game is essentially grind. That's what your post game is. You're grinding, not unlike Destiny, where you have your fucking your power level and your light level. In this, you have a character level and a power level. So it works exactly the same way. And you start to see big elements of that creeping in during the campaign. And I haven't finished yet. I'm almost there. But, superb. I have seen a couple of bugs. Massive, massive frame rate drops in cutscenes. That's a one that seems to be quite common now. And also there seems to be a flight-based bug where I was doing a mission on the Chimera, which is, for all intents and purposes, a helicarrier on steroids. So you're doing a mission on the Chimera, and I was flying around as Thor, and due to the... I don't rightly know what it is, because... The best way to describe it is, you know when you've fallen from the bus in Fortnite and you have that graphical effect of like a comet almost, with the airflow going around you and coming off behind you in like a tail? That isn't there for the most part for Thor or Iron Man, who are the two flying characters. Yet, as I was flying around, I seemed to have dragged this fucking glitch on the back of Thor's legs straight through the middle of the fucking helicarrier. And it was there. It was just stuck there. It was like the middle of the helicarrier was trying to go into hyperspace. That's the best way I can describe this bug. And there's a few people reporting that same bug with flight. So that was very disjarring when it's straight through the middle of your map. It weren't like off to the side where you could avoid it. Like I had to fly over the fucking thing. Like backwards and forwards trying to complete the objectives. So it's not without issue. When we get a post game, I think we'll both enjoy it in the immediate for the leveling up and doing co-op missions together, like we were doing on stream for a very brief window. You can already see there's essentially a small handful of things that you'll have to do post game. It's going to be either secure the data center eliminate their fucking hit squad or whatever it is. There's like probably four sort of side mission types. They're all the same. They're just either in a different location or it's a different enemy skin. But it's the same fucking mission. It's kill these five marked enemies. You know what I mean? And that, I think that's where we'll start to see the big criticisms coming in. But this is a game of service. We said this from the start. Will this game fall foul of the exact same fucking problems every other game of service does? And so far, it's ticking all the boxes.
Yeah. The other thing is, like, when games are reviewed, obviously, they get hammered and played through. I mean, the vast majority of people, I don't think, are going to play it through as fast as the reviewers do. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
So they're going to chew through the campaign and then grind away.
Yeah.
Let's say erring more towards more of the casual players, which I'll probably put me down into, in terms of I'm not going to chug through the campaign as fast as the other a hardcore gamer.
No.
However, you know, is that going to lead to more time? So when I've digested that, then let's say, is the roadmap more kitted out for me than a hardcore gamer?
Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, by the time you've achieved what you set out to achieve, so...
Exactly.
I'm the same. I didn't necessarily want to chew through the campaign, which is why it's taken us so long, because I am, again, as we know, Mr. TripAdvisor when it comes to games. I want to see everything that it has to offer. I'll check every nook, every cranny. I'll find collectibles that I didn't know were there. That's the kind of gamer that I am. So if you're not absolutely blitzing through it, what is a 10 to 12 hour campaign, and you end up dragging that out over, you're doing every little side mission and you're doing all this exploration and you're finding all these collectibles, by the time you do box the game off, is Hawkeye ready to drop? Is Spider-Man ready to drop? Is that, do we get another little hit of content there, and then we chew through that one at a slow pace, trip advising about, get the grind on, and then does the other character drop? Do we then have an announcement on the upcoming sort of DLC, the paid DLC? I don't know if off the top of my head, I can't remember if they've confirmed DLC is going to be paid or not. Judging by the horrific monetization in post-game, whereby you essentially buy a battle pass for each fucking hero, I would imagine it's not free DLC. I'd imagine some of it will be, for Spider-Man is. Hawkeye, I don't know. But when we get the next campaign bit, is it, for example, I don't know, is it the Infinity Gauntlet saga? Do we start seeing Thanos come into it? He's very much sort of infamous with the Avengers, thanks to the MCU. Or do we see them do something totally different, like fucking with MODOK? You know what I mean? Like, who saw MODOK being the fucking lead antagonist in this game? Do we see something? Do they take another sort of lesser known villain and really flesh him out? Not unlike Insomniac did with Spider-Man and Mr. Negative. Do you know what I mean? The possibilities are fucking endless as far as I'm concerned. But, yeah, time will tell on that one, I suppose. But up to now, fuck me, I'm loving that game. The combat in that game, my three dudes, Hulk, love playing as the Hulk, so fucking fun. Thor, smashing them about with the hammer. The only regret I've got is that I wish... So, obviously he's got the move where he can just throw Mjolnir, and like it essentially pins people to the wall. Like, and I love that. That's one of them subtleties that I talk about in gaming, when I'm all in on the subtleties. And if you throw the hammer and it hits somebody and then carries them off, if he hits the surface, the hammer just holds them to that surface. And then you can call the hammer back, but it doesn't have the same sort of gravitas as... And when we've had God of War with essentially the fucking rip-off of Mjolnir, where you can call the axe back, just the actual feel of that axe coming back to you, like, Thor can't compete with fucking Kratos on that front. And I find that a bit disappointing, because if anything, that should have been like That should have been key to Thor gameplay, that hammer.
It's another thing for me. It's like, unfortunately, I find playing as Iron Man just a bit lackluster.
Mm. Mm-hmm.
Again, like you say, you know, the other game of service that shall not be named, but Anthem.
Yeah.
The nailed flight in that.
Yeah, they did.
And just a thing about when you land and you're just, you know, everyone knows what a superhero landing is.
Yeah.
And like an Iron Man hasn't got his patented, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's just feels really tame. Like you say, like Thor catching the hammer.
Yeah. Yeah.
So.
Yeah, fully agree. Fully agree on that one. But Captain America as well. Jesus Christ. When you unlock Captain America, like the combat with that shield is something else. It's just something else. But I will say this again. Marvel's Avengers is essentially a beautifully rendered 3D version of Marvel Ultimate Alliance.
Ultimate Alliance.
Yeah. And I'm not mad at that at all. The combat feels fucking tremendous. Yeah, you can unlock new combos and whatnot, but for the most part, you find yourself in a groove. You find a combo that comes easy to hear, and before you know it, you're playing Ultimate Alliance.
Mash away, yeah.
Yeah. Superb, superb. Anything else on Marvel for you, Johnny? Anything else on the Avengers? Any other thoughts?
Just that I've thoroughly, thoroughly enjoyed playing as Black Widow.
Mm. Mm-hmm.
Really enjoyed, actually. Again, you know, and that's one thing that has I was worried about, and I'm not too worried about now, is that the heroes playing
too similarly.
Too similar. They all play differently. They all have which gives me hope for when Spider-Man comes in and Hawkeye,
mm-hmm.
that'll freshen up the experience as well. You know, you're forced to play differently depending on who you play with.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely, so, absolutely.
So that definitely goes in its favour. I'll give it that.
Yeah.
So,
have you played anything else this week, or has it just been strictly Avengers for you?
I had some. A few trips to the skate park.
Obviously.
On Tony Hawk's bouncing up and down. Just because the one thing I love about that game is that it allows you just to jump in and jump out.
Drop in, drop out. Perfect. Pick up and play. Perfect.
Yeah. And not many, I think games on the Switch maybe allow you to do that a lot more.
Yeah, they do, yeah.
But there's been less of that for Xbox and PS4. Sorry.
Mm-hmm.
So I think having a game like that where the old school, you can just pick up, play, turn off. You know what I mean?
Yeah, Fortnite was great for that on the consoles. Pick up, have a game, put it down. I mean, you weren't really getting the full out of it if you were playing for one game, like, because you weren't even really getting your fucking, you weren't even getting your hands warmed up at that point. But yeah, I know what you mean. I know what you mean.
It's an old school game where you could just turn it off and not have to worry.
Aye.
Even if you're halfway through an event or a skate, doesn't matter. You'll pick it back up.
Yeah.
But these games these days, every time like someone's calling you to do something, it's in the middle of a cutscene.
Yeah.
At least nowadays, I've realised you can pause. It's more prevalent that you can pause cutscenes rather than press and start to skip the thing.
Yeah. Yeah. I've had to do that a few times in Avengers. Actually, pause the actual cutscene because fucking I had to go and build a wardrobe or something. Weird.
Life,
eh? Fucking life. Johnny, shall we move into this week's choice cuts, this week's selection of game news? Shall we get fucking... I hope you're hungry, because there's a big old meaty course of Xbox and fucking PlayStation 5 news here.
There's just a huge roast joint in front of us to go at here, so...
A big old turducken of just fucking... just fucking absolute... fucking next gen news. We'll get straight into it. Have we got any pissy bits that we want to get out of the way first before we get into this next gen stuff?
I don't think so. It's all kind of related.
Yeah, it all
I
does
mean,
tie
unless you want to go on to talk about Ubisoft Forward first before we get into the...
Well, I tell you what, we'll do Ubisoft Forward first, and then we'll just get into that next gen. We'll get into the next gen weeds. So Ubisoft Forward 2, is that what we're calling it? The second Ubisoft Forward?
The second coming.
Yeah, so that happened. What was... Did you watch it, or did you just catch highlights?
I watched the highlights afterwards.
Yeah, me too.
Of the main show, and I've seen all the most of the trailers or the main trailers.
Yeah.
Announced.
Yeah. To be honest, for me personally, underwhelming.
Yeah.
Underwhelming.
It didn't seem to be anything.
Like the main.
Even the things that look interesting on by headlines.
Yeah.
Aren't really interesting when you look at them a bit more.
No.
In my opinion.
The main takeaway from that show for me was that Ubisoft has all the faith in the world in Sam Fisher as a character, just absolutely no faith at all in the Splinter Cell franchise. They'll quite happily whore out Sam Fisher to every other... Like, as far as I'm aware, Sam Fisher is a playable character in Assassin's Creed Valhalla at this point, because Sam Fisher is in fucking... Sam Fisher's in fucking everything apart from a Splinter Cell game at the minute. It's fucking bad. Like, just give the people what they want. A brand new Splinter Cell. Give Sam Fisher what he deserves. I mean, he absolutely deserves a place in Rainbow Six Siege. He is a key protagonist in the Ubisoft library. You know what I mean? So get him in there. Do that cross promotional. Cross franchise stuff. I mean, it's all Tom Clancy at the end of the day, so it doesn't really matter. But he definitely deserves a place in Rainbow Six. But where is my Splinter Cell? Where is the next Splinter Cell? Along the same lines as Splinter Cell, there's a Splinter Cell that I absolutely fucking loved, and I want to say, was it Conviction? Is that the one I loved? There was a fucking brilliant Splinter Cell game, and it was only in the last couple of years. It was one of the more recent ones. Superb. Just give us more of that. Give me my Sam Fisher. Not in another game. But other than Sam Fisher...
Conviction was 360, so...
Yeah, it was, aye. What's been the more recent Splinter Cell releases? I've played a lot of them, but it's been that long that I don't actually fucking recall which was the last... Splinter Cell. I think Conviction was definitely... Was it Blacklist? Was that the other one?
I think. Yeah, Blacklist was the sequel of that one, yeah.
Like, another cracking game. Absolutely superb game. Blacklist was 2013. Conviction 2010. Double Agent 2006. Like, fucking hell. I went... 2013, we're in 2020 and we still don't have another Splinter Cell. Coming off the back of two very good Splinter Cell games.
Yeah. We haven't had a Splinter Cell... Effectively on this gen?
No, we haven't. Apart from fucking Sam Fisher in Tom Clancy's Rainbow Six Splinter Cell.
Well, let's stick with Tom Clancy briefly, because the one thing that was clearly not here that probably people wanted, there was no sign again of Rainbow Six Quarantine.
No. Conspicuous in its absence.
And my only thing I can think of is just the connotations with quarantine at the moment is have they just went for let's just put a blackout on that for the time being.
Yeah, but we're talking about Ubisoft here. They are literally no strangers to fucking controversy at this point. Like the Eve Gilmore fucking little video that they just randomly dropped on Twitter explaining the fucking sexism and just the fucking absolute fucking horrendous practices at Ubisoft, like in upper management. And they just drop a random fucking video on a Twitter timeline. That your Twitter timeline refreshes like fucking instantly. That video could have easily been part of that camp, that forward. They could have opened that forward with him talking about how they were doing big changes, they were making changes, they were going to fix these problems, these fucking inherent problems, they were going to fix them. And they could have put that as part of the forward and it would have actually carried some weight. But nah.
Mm-hmm.
Controversial again and deciding to just drop it on fucking Twitter and not really make a fuss of it and let it be lost into the timeline for forever and a day.
The whole tone of the whole forward thing just seemed weird.
Yeah.
I mean, talk about Avengers having an identity crisis. There was just some... I mean, talk about Rainbow Six Quarantine and what they could always just change the name, because obviously that's what they do these days.
Yeah.
Because they've changed what... what was
gods and monsters. Have you heard why they've had to change that, by the way?
I haven't. Go on, tell me why.
Something to do with Monster Energy Drink. I shit you not.
Oh, I can believe that if someone's flexed their muscle.
Yeah.
Wow. So why is Monster Hunter allowed to be called Monster Hunter then?
I have no idea. I think Monster Hunter predates Monster Energy, that's why. The franchise of Monster Hunter predates Monster Energy. But, like, you are absolutely correct.
That annoys me.
We have the sequel.
Seek and desist, you can't use Monster.
Yeah. We have the actual sequel to a massively popular and massively successful... Rainbow Six Siege is a game of service done right. When you think about it.
Mm-hmm.
Constant updates. Like, if you played Rainbow Six Siege, like, at the start, like, it looks fuck all like it does now. It's gone through so many iterations and so many changes. And then they announce the sequel, and then, radio silence. I mean, quarantine was an event in Rainbow Six Siege. That's where it started. Like, I played that event. I played that event in Siege. So I'm excited to see what they do to build a full campaign out of this, to build a full game around it. But, I mean, what are they even doing with that at this point? Are we even confident that that's still a game? How about it just becomes the first next-gen event on Rainbow Six Siege? That's very possible at this point. Where was Beyond Good and Evil? You know what I mean? So many missing key players.
You wonder if this the state of the company at the top has caused issues in some of these projects at the moment. And if there's things to be done within those teams, let's say, before anything happens.
And I mean, obviously, COVID will play a part. You've got the workforce is splintered and working from home, so that will play a part. Pardon the pun. Pardon the splintered pun. The workforce is scattered to the wind, and you know that it's not as efficient and not as productive as working from the office as it would appear in the game industry. But yeah, missing big players. Missing. How did you feel about the Prince of Persia remake? By the way,
when I actually watched the trailer, that's not a remake. I don't think you're allowed to call that a remake.
It looked awful, didn't it?
It looked absolutely shite. And when it comes up, just like redefining a masterpiece, like, don't touch it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, I read an article the other day about certain remakes, you know, obviously Final Fantasy VII remakes up there.
Yeah.
And Resident Evil 2.
Yeah.
Way up there in terms of how they take the game, expand upon it, make it better than it originally was. This is just when you put remake and it just looks shoddily done. I mean, you expect it to be bells and whistles, you know.
Yeah.
This looked like, dare I say it, PlayStation 2.
Yeah, it looked fucking awful. The thing that's gone against it, right, is, as you've said there, if we are in sort of a zeitgeist of remakes of classics, right?
Mm-hmm.
But
yeah, yeah.
That being said, these remakes, as you've just so eloquently put there, Final Fantasy VII Remake, stunning. Absolutely stunning. A strong contender for my Game of the Year 2020. We've got Crash Bandicoot Insane Trilogy. Holy fuck, was that good. Shadow of the Colossus.
Yep.
Right. Resident Evil 2. Have I said that one? Resident Evil 2?
You said that one.
Absolutely fucking another... The RE engine in that game, still, a year later, fucking second to none. Spyro got a fucking remake. We've got fucking Demon Souls coming out on PS5. That's a remake.
Yeah.
And look what that looks like. And then you've got this fucking Prince of Persia, what looks like somebody rebuilt Prince of Persia Sands of Time in dreams without being very good at dreams.
Yeah.
Like,
I mean,
just looks so bad, man.
Just don't, like, whenever you're doing remakes, right, the number one rule is don't piss on your own legend.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And that's the gamble you take when you do things, because you're always gonna, there's always gonna be haters who love the originals,
mm-hmm.
and not gonna like anything else. But the main rule should be don't piss on your legend, you know. And all people now are gonna see a shoddy remake, because I was looking at it going, oh well, is it still a while away and it's an early build? Was it January next year?
Yeah.
Fuck that.
No, I won't be jumping back into that. Like, back in the day, that whole trilogy was fucking superb. You had the Sands of Time, Warrior Within, and I want to say it was the Two Thrones. Was that the third one? I think it was the Two Thrones.
What was it, Two Princes?
Two Princes. It was the Two Summing. And it was fucking, all three of those games were fucking absolutely next level.
Here's the thing, you've got a franchise, right?
Yeah.
Of it, you know, and I guess it was an iconic game and things like that, but I can fully see the allure for like making remakes, because I'll hold my hand up, I've played remakes and enjoyed them.
Yeah.
But it's a good franchise, why not just move forward with it?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Just
like the,
or if you're gonna do a remake, it's got to be almost a reimagining, like we said.
Yeah.
To move forward, and that just looks like a shitty copy.
Reboot
copy.
It with a reimagining of the Prince of Persia, like Tomb Raider. Absolutely fucking superb. The last three Tomb Raider games, from when they brought back Lara Croft and retold the story. So there was Tomb Raider, there was the Shadow of the Tomb Raider, Rise of the Tomb Raider, Shadow of the Tomb Raider, and what was the first one just called Tomb Raider?
Just Tomb Raider, I think. Yeah.
Fucking outstanding. God of War. Sort of like, it was a continuation more than anything else, but it was still a reimagining of the Kratos character, because he just all of a sudden had like so much fucking emotional investment in him.
Baggage.
So much fucking baggage. Like, there's no excuse. The Prince of Persia is an absolute iconic franchise in gaming.
Yep. It was.
Anyway. Yeah, it was. And this is a fucking huge disservice. It, like, Tony Hawk's 1 and 2, look at that fucking remake. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, we've got all these absolute killers, where people have paid fucking love and attention, and more important than any of that, respect to what came before it.
Yep.
And this is just it's a dog shit. It's an actual dog shit.
Yeah.
I'm not happy with that. Like, I will not be buying that game. I don't care if it controls fucking, I don't care if they've put all of the work into the actual feel of the game, because we've said this before, mate, graphics aren't everything, but Jesus Christ, they're at least something. Like, I'd rather play the original looking at that remake, because then at least the original, it's got an excuse to look shoddy, because we are fucking 20 years removed from it.
Right. I can't remember. Was it Rainbow Six Vegas where you could use the screen capture of your
Yes, it was. It was Vegas.
The camera and put your face on the operator.
Yes, Rainbow Six Vegas or Vegas 2, one of them. You scanned your face in, yeah.
Yeah, that was better.
Aye.
It wasn't great, but that was better than what I saw in Prince of Persia remake.
Yeah, I've still got fond memories of playing Vegas with you online, and we both scanned our faces in, and I was like, I can't see my face. I need to see my face. I've scanned it in. I can't see it. And I just slapped up against the wall. So, you know, you're going to cover against the wall. And then that was the first time I saw my face in the game, in cover against that wall. And I fell about laughing for about half an hour. And it wasn't...
It's because you...
It was like I wasn't...
That smirk on your face.
I was fucking smirking while I was doing the fucking Xbox camera, because it just felt silly. And so I had this fucking smirk on my face, and that translated in the game, and I just slapped him in a cover with this fucking smirk clearly on my face on a game character. And Jesus Christ, like, the laughter wasn't because something was particularly funny. It was just I became so overwhelmed with emotion about what I was seeing. I just laughed for half an hour non-stop.
It looked fucking cool as well. Just because that cheeky grin where you're holding like whatever souped up MP5.
Yeah.
Just like, with your tactical microphone around the let's breach this sucker.
It was fucking superb. But are you absolutely right, like it's a fucking shitty looking game. And I don't like to go out of my way to shit on things, because this is my industry. Do you know what I mean? This is the industry I love. And Ubisoft are a huge company. And Ubisoft have brought some of the best looking games I've ever seen. And I've played some of the best games I've ever played, thanks to Ubisoft. But this is lazy. And I expect better. And the precedent for remakes has set the bar so fucking high. We're talking game of the year contender high for remakes. Resident Evil 2.
Yep.
Fucking Final Fantasy 7. These are up there. Demon Souls is absolutely going to end up in the game of the year contention. Toys for Bob. Fucking... Who is it that did Shadow of the Colossus? Is it Bluepoint? Are they the ones doing Demon Souls as well? Like these studios who aren't as big as Ubisoft. And they're putting out content that'll rival Ubisoft's AAA titles, like your Assassin's Creed, like your Watch Dogs. And then Ubisoft come out with this. Just disappointing. Disappointing. That's all I'm going to say on it. I am disappointed with what they did to Prince of Persia. And I've got fond memories as a child playing the fucking original Prince of Persia.
Mm-hmm. I loved it. Absolutely loved it. It was like you say, it was innovative.
Yeah.
For a game, you know what I mean? But
back then it was fucking hugely innovative. But now we're gone. What else? What's on the dot? Have we got anything else on the dot, Johnny, other than a disappointing Ubisoft forward?
No, have we got just anything that. Else? Another thing about Immortals Phoenix Rising.
Oh shit,
right? If you're gonna rename something, right, for a game that looks like, and I stole this from some Assassin's Creed Zelda.
Yeah.
Which I'm not saying that's a bad thing. I think it looks pretty cool and what you can do with it. Mm. The trailer played was completely juxtaposed with some soundtrack that didn't mean anything.
Yeah,
I was like, what is this? What is this? But if you're going to rename something after Gods and Monsters, don't use an encyclopedia of Greece and a name generator.
Nah. Please.
Fuck me. Immortals. Yep, use that one. It's like someone took bingo balls with like words from an encyclopedia.
Yeah, just like what were important words in Greek mythology? Write them all in a bingo ball. Let's chuck it in the tombola and just see what spits out.
Exactly. That's what it
sounds
like.
Eyes down, look in. First ball, immortals. Yeah, I fucking. Nah.
Could be worse. Could be worse. Next one, Phoenix, spelt weirdly.
Spelled incorrectly.
Anyway.
We're getting to the fucking meat of it, mate. So it was that Ubisoft forward left a sour taste in my mouth. However, thankfully, the game industry has taken with one hand and given an abundance with the other this week. So
Where did we get to last week?
Last week, we knew we had the Xbox Series S for Sierra. We had the Xbox Series S release date and price and specs, thanks to a leak which Microsoft's social team fucking jumped on and decided whoever... Like, Phil Spencer was asleep when that happened. And somebody in middle management, or maybe upper management, but not quite Phil, has took it upon themselves to just go, fuck it, let's get out ahead of this. I mean, that's an assumption. Maybe they woke Phil up. Maybe they rang Phil just like, we've got a fucking crisis here, it's leaked. But at like 5 minutes past midnight, Xbox released the Xbox Series S with a meme, with a fucking meme. And
yeah.
their socials have been on fire ever since. It's just been superb. But a week removed, we said last week that... the Xbox Series X was all but announced for the same date, for the same time. Yeah. It was like the analogy we made was we could see it standing in the door, but it wouldn't come in. We knew everything about it, but we just couldn't get it to step forward and admit it. And now here we are, a week removed, and true to form, everything that we said was correct. I think it's not. That's not us, by the way. That's the entire industry was pretty much of the same mind. We've got a price. We will talk UK prices here, by the way, not American prices. We've got a price. Release date is still the same. It's November the 10th. And they're both coming out on that day. And the price for the X is £449 English pounds. Pre-orders start on the 22nd. Very soon.
Very soon. A week today.
Yep. Not only that, Xbox have come out fucking swinging. Like, I've had so many conversations, and this isn't fucking hyperbole.
Let's play hyperbole.
This isn't hyperbole. I have had conversations with multiple people who I know for a fact are casual PlayStation players, and they've all said, fucking hell, I'm going to get that Xbox Series S.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that is the demographic. You won't thin out the herd of the hardcore Sony fanboys very much with what you've done so far, Xbox. And I think they know that. Brand loyalty in gaming is some of the most fucking ferocious brand loyalty I've ever seen. Like, die on your sword type of brand loyalty. And I don't think Xbox have gone into this thinking, let's fucking eat into their hardcore fan base. Xbox have gone in and just thought, yeah, there's billions of gamers on this planet, and of that, there is a fucking small percentage of people who could be classed as hardcore. Me and you fall into that category. Every fucker else I know. Like, look at the other two Sky Panthers. You've got one of them who plays Call of Duty alone, and the other one who only just got a PlayStation 4 because we bought them it. Do you know what I mean? That is the bulk of gamers right there, apart from take mobile gamers out of it, like handheld gamers, take them out. Like, fence sitters, they're the ones Microsoft's targeted.
Yeah.
And from the people I've spoke to already, it's fucking working.
Yeah. Because in terms of the S, what that does is, right, it just increases the accessibility to Xbox games.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And say, okay, you didn't want to pay £450 for it, but here's £250 for something that'll get you closer.
Yeah.
And you can now play the games that you have said you won't because you've got a PlayStation before.
Yeah.
So absolutely, it just goes, ooh, at that price point, you're like, I can jump onto this. It can be another casual console.
Yeah. This can just sit there. Every game I play, these fucking fences, they are predominantly third-party studio gamers. They are the FIFA crowd. They are the fucking Call of Duty crowd. Like, that's who they are. And if you can pull them onto your console to play them games...
Pull them onto your console and then introduce them to Game Pass. You know what I mean? In that sense.
Which they have done.
You've got someone stuck on hooked on a service.
Yeah. You've got people invested in your platform. Because... Yeah. They are casual, yeah, but you've just pulled them in, right? You've pulled them in with a very low price point. And on top of that, you've now got Xbox Access. And you've said to them, all right then, you want the £250 machine? Cool. We know that the economy's in the fucking toilet. We know that disposable cash isn't easy to come by right now. So how about you just pay us so much a month for 24 months? You can have the console. Mm-hmm. And in that, we'll give you Game Pass. And then these casuals are like, fucking hell, I either pay £250 outright or I just pay you £20 a month for fucking that. Fact check them numbers. It's definitely not £20 a month. I just pay you, for example, £20 a month for 24 months for this console, for my Xbox Live, so I can play online, and Game Pass. What's this Game Pass like? And then they jump into Game Pass and they're like, wait there, I can play all these games. Yep. Like, I can just download and play all these games. And then the fucking another kicker in what has been a fucking superb week for Xbox, EA Play is now going to be included in Game Pass.
Yep. Because all they need to do is get more people on Game Pass and then they expand that.
Yeah.
You know? So that'll expand. Fuck, I mean, you talk about EA, other kickers, you know, the fact that Valhalla is moving up a release date to the 10th, so it's going to launch with, you know, Xbox. There's something to help it out, you know, because let's not forget the elephant in the room with Halo not being there.
Yeah.
But so far they're doing, like, everything. They've just kept the machine rolling. Like, even today it was just releasing information on the pictures of what the packaging's going to be.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? It's not huge news, but it's something extra that just appends on to the news already. You know what I mean? It's like, oh, it just continues the news cycle. They've done it very well.
Very, very, very well. And like I say, from the people who I'm surrounded by who are casuals, I've got people saying, fuck me, fuck that, I'm going to get an Xbox. Like, Game Pass plus, like, the cheaper console, and it plays fucking incredible, and I don't need a 4K TV to experience it. Like, it'll,
yeah.
Like, it's just fucking, it's something else. It's something else. Xbox have absolutely fucking, so far, run away with it. Which leads us into the next story. Because we say Xbox so far run away with it, that's because we haven't actually heard from PlayStation yet.
No.
And that's coming tomorrow.
Yeah, they obviously don't listen to this show.
Nah, fucking absolute knobs. Knobs. They couldn't have done it today so we could talk about that. You know what I mean? Knobs. So, we've got the PlayStation 5 event tomorrow, Johnny. What is it? Realistically, we know it's going to be I think they said it was a 40-minute digital presentation. What are you expecting from that 40 minutes?
Price, release date, launch titles.
Yeah. Yeah, same. What do you think the price is going to fall for both PS5 and disc driveless PS5?
Well, on the dirt sheets and everything, it's been some, you know, the numbers have been thrown around, obviously, like 500 for the main beast and 400 for the digital only.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, they'll have to think about that in terms of with the Xbox releasing their numbers.
Yeah.
We know what Sony did last time. You know, undercut, was it 50 quid the undercut by?
I don't remember off the top of my head. I can't remember.
But anyway, the undercut.
But it was easy to undercut the last time because there was an extra 100 quid with a fucking useless Kinect.
Yeah.
Bundled in. That was 100 quid on your price tag straight away, so it was easy for Sony to undercut the last time. Not this time.
I can't see how this, something like this, given what its specs are on paper, let's say, to be less than 400.
No.
I don't know, with the digital edition, maybe, but I can't see it being less than 400.
It can't be that big a drop in price, because the only thing it's missing is a disc drive. This isn't a Series X to Series S where we've got smaller hard drives and different fucking SSDs and different processors. So one can output up to 8K, the other one just outputs at 1440 and it'll upscale 4K. So there's a very clear difference between the two Xboxes. PlayStation and discless PlayStation are the PlayStation 5. The only difference is a disc drive. So you can't be making that much of a saving by getting rid of a disc drive. A disc drive isn't 100 quid when you're buying them en masse. Do you know what I mean? It's what? 30, 40, 50 tops. Absolute tops.
But they will pull that money back in the store, won't they, if people go digital edition?
Yeah. Yeah, so, yeah.
Because that's the other side of the coin, is that you end up paying full price for your digital editions and you don't get the competitiveness of high street stores.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
So, I mean, yeah. I'm going 450. Again, same price.
450. I could say that. They've had the benefit of time to come in and say, right, we were going to go in at 500, but now we know Xbox is going in at 450. We'll go in at 450 as well. We'll recoup anything we lose through software sales.
Yeah. If they come in below 450, they're worried about the Series S.
Yeah. And I think they've got every right to be as well, if I'm honest.
But I think, you know, you talk about hubris and things like that mm-hmm. before. They know, and we know that the PlayStation 5 is not a Series S.
No.
In that sense, you know, we should say it the other way around. Series S is not on par with a PS5 in terms of resolution and processing power, let's say. So, and Sony will know that. And that'll be it might be the hubris that says, well, we shouldn't have to discount.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So we'll see. We'll see.
Next question for you. Release date. Where do you see it landing?
It was interesting. So I was looking at this after you told me. So do you want to go with your prediction first, or shall I go first?
So I'll go with my prediction first. And this is the one that I thought made more sense until you had a riposte, as it were. So we have Xbox Series X and S launching on the 10th of November alongside Assassin's Creed Valhalla. The next two big releases we've got are, well, the one I thought, Cyberpunk on the 19th of November. Do PlayStation 5 do what Xbox have done with Valhalla and launch on the 19th of November alongside Cyberpunk, hoping that people will have the attachment there? Because the two things launch on the same day, people make some weird sort of connection between the two. Do they try and launch PlayStation 5 on the 19th of November alongside Cyberpunk?
Well, November 13th is Call of Duty Black Ops Cold War release date.
It is.
And something made me think, well, there's two scenarios here. It's only a few days, isn't it? Do we see Call of Duty Black Ops be bumped up like Assassin's Creed Valhalla to become a launch title for Series X?
Mm-hmm.
Or does PlayStation announce a launch on the same day as that? You know, go with use the another franchise to help you leverage some sales.
Yeah. As far as I'm concerned, both are valid arguments, and I'd quite happily put my mortgage on it's going to be either or.
Do you know what? I think the third scenario, though, I mean, Sony have always been a loan to themselves.
Yeah.
We do things on our terms. You know, they've never been, you know, they always talk about saying no for the players and stuff like that. But, you know, at least Xbox a little bit have been kind of like, it felt just working with developers more.
Mm-hmm.
And then just a little bit more of an ecosystem rather than Sony's might, corporate might.
Yeah.
So, and that's just a feeling I get. So you never know. Like Sony, again, might just be like, we don't need to link it with a thing. It'll launch when it's ready on this day.
Aye. Yeah, we don't need the popularity of these third-party titles because we are Sony. Why do we need your popularity when we have Horizon coming in February, Ratchet and Clank coming in potentially February? I mean, this leads into the next part of this. Launch titles. Miles Morales.
That's it. I think it's going to be Bear. I really think it's going to be Bear. For both consoles, to be honest.
Do we see Demon's Souls? Is Demon's Souls ready? Is Demon's Souls the ace up the sleeve to say PlayStation 5 launches on this day, the same day as Black Ops or Cyberpunk, with Miles Morales and Demon's Souls?
I mean, you never know. They might have kept all their media hype. So then now, once Microsoft start coming to an end, Sony can just ramp up theirs and then do a media blitz up until launch for them.
Aye.
And suddenly, this is at launch.
And I mean, speaking of media blitz, because Sony have been so quiet and we are so close, if in fact they are hanging on to a hell of a lot of fucking absolute gold here, there's been sort of rumours doing the rounds on the socials that we would see not necessarily the games launching with, but an announcement in this 40 minute. Bear in mind, 40 minutes is a long time to fill. Do we see announcements of Silent Hill for the PS5, God of War Part 2, Final Fantasy 16, and the long-rumoured Metal Gear Solid 1 remake. Do Sony, if Sony have any of them planned for the show tomorrow, like, the weight behind them, Jesus Christ.
Just God of War Part 2 alone, I think.
Yeah.
Which, to be honest, would be enough just to be, right, yeah. Just because of the weightiness of that game.
I remember. Like, everyone's sitting there like, oh, holy fuck, Xbox is coming out swinging. Like, shit, I might get a Series S, and then I get Game Pass, and I get this, and then it's just God of War Part 2. I remember.
Play it, boy.
I'll save my money. Yeah, I remember.
Because it only takes one thing like that, of like something you're comfortable with, just to kind of like, yeah, I'm on board with that.
Yeah. To be honest, the gamer in us, I want all of those things. I want Sony to come out tomorrow. I think we're not going to be far off on release dates or prices, but the one thing that I think we could be miles off with, or I hope, and this is where all fucking hype Rancher needs to step in, is that we do get fucking Demon Souls launch window. We do get God of War 2 coming in 2021/2022. We do get fucking, it's back, Silent Hills for PlayStation 5. Final Fantasy, coming off the bat of Final Fantasy fucking 15, which was, I mean, it was turbulent at times, but like 15 and then 7 remake and then 14's relaunch, like massively successful relaunch as an MMO. And then now does 16 come out? Like, What does the next numbered Final Fantasy game look like?
Well, they might have news on Final Fantasy VII Remake Part 2.
True.
That would be a kicker.
True.
Like, I mean, here's my thing though, right? If they're launch titles, let's say, or at least one of them is, and it's going to be a surprise launch title, then absolutely you save it for when you announce the launch of your console. To give it that stuff. If they're not going to be, and then they're going to be in the next year, what is the point of saving that for a launch event?
Yeah.
You know, wet people's whistle by saying it's coming. You know, we all know there's another God of War coming at some point.
Mm-hmm.
Let us know that it is, and then you can build things up. Otherwise, you're just gifting Xbox time to tease silly news like the packaging on the Xbox, but it's news.
Because if they're not careful there, if they give Xbox too much room, then they've actually stand a good chance of eating into a large percentage of the people who you may have pulled over with God of War. You might have already lost them. If you hang on to that news, these people who were waiting for God of War and didn't get it might be like, ah, fuck it, I'll just get an Xbox in.
Mm-hmm.
I'll just get Game Pass. What's the plans for tomorrow, by the way? Are we going to do a live react?
Ooh, what time's the show?
Don't know. That's something I was going to look at tomorrow. Which would have been ideal if I'd looked at it for the show.
Yeah, me too. You know, talk all myself a producer.
Let's have a look. So, Sony PS5 reveal 9 p.m. BST.
9 p.m.
40 minutes. 9 p.m.
Go on then.
However, then we'll do a live react. I think it's going to be a big one anyway, so we should. We'll come back tomorrow with the PlayStation 5 reveal event special. Right, have we got anything else on the docket, Johnny?
Nope, I think that's it. I think we can just speculate about tomorrow, but let's find out what it and talk about it in real time.
Yeah. Maybe we'll be sitting here this time tomorrow. Obviously, it won't have started, but at the end of show tomorrow, thinking like, well, yet again, we needed the hype rancher here. Or we could be sitting here with our absolute cocks blown out of our own arseholes.
Yeah. God forbid we don't need the hype strangler here to come in.
Oh, God. Oh, God.
Kill everything.
Not him. Never him. Not again.
Keep him in the cupboard.
Keep him away. Boys and girls, this has been another episode of Franchise Buys Games. If you've enjoyed what's happened day to day, jump on over to Apple Podcasts or your podcatcher of choice. Leave us one of them glowing 5-star reviews. Help us spread the word that we are, in fact, the second best gaming podcast on the planet, uncontested. Make sure we keep that moniker by spreading us far and wide so we get more and more people joining the army, joining the cult of Franchise Buys Games. We are available on socials, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. Just search for The Franchise, P-H-R-A-N-C-H-I-Z-E. Yeah, you will find us. You will find us. Johnny doesn't do socials, so you'll find me. But anything you've got for him, I'll pass over. We are in the middle of getting a Discord set up for you beautiful bastards as well, so stick around for that. We do stream, I say we, I stream every week, Monday, Wednesdays, Sundays, other days in between I do potentially stream as well, but Johnny's often there as part of the elite fighting force known only as the Sky Panthers. And Johnny, have you got anything else you want to plug there, mate?
In terms of?
Anything.
Well, if you do watch his streams, you'll hear some pretty cool music. So I do say so myself,
yeah.
From yours truly.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
Let us know how you feel about that, because I can just always make more. This boy always wants more.
He does. He does. He's got a gift. He's got a gift. That nice guy, Johnny Jams, coming to a Spotify playlist near you very soon. Boys and girls, until next time, which will be tomorrow, laters. Say bye, Johnny.
Sayonara.
Gay Panthers.